Rocking and rolling here this Thursday at the Treasure Chest Casino. You can stop by, say hey to me and Mike. We are at the Game Bar and Grill.
Yeah,
getting ready for
see
Thursday
us,
Night Football.
Yeah, we in the back at the Game Bar and Grill. Man, they got a slew of TVs. You want to do a little gaming, put a little money on that? It's right around the corner with it. So get you a bite to eat and watch Thursday Night Football. And you can hear that game live right here on the Big 870 WWL as the Vikings and the Rams. And boy, when they set this up, man, I said, man, that's a really good Thursday night game until I seen that injury list for the Rams. It was kind of lengthy.
Speaking of injury list, we're still waiting for the Saints to put their practice report out for today. When we get that, we'll obviously bring it to you as soon as possible. Right now, though, we're talking about another big football game Saturday. 14th ranked Texas A&M hosting the 8th ranked LSU Tigers. 6:30 Saturday night. Andrew Monaco, the voice of Texas A&M, joins us now. Definitely appreciate the time, Andrew. How you been doing?
Doing just great, and I'm not sure Saturday can get here fast enough. Should be electric in Kyle Field.
Andrew, I agree with you, bud. You know, I was talking to Bobby Abier about this. I said, Bob, this is a playoff game inside of a playoff game. Because you can see what's at stake here for the winner. Man, you're going to have a pretty clear path here. The loser is not out of it, but you might have to make, you know, go around a few fences and stuff like that to get around. But and yet they don't need no more hype for a game when LSU plays Texas A&M.
No, you're right. The margin of error, look, you don't have much of it in the SEC, and you it gets infinitely smaller if you lose this one because you're challenged then. I'll just let you know for the Aggies. Still have to go to South Carolina, still have to visit Auburn, and there's that other team just down the road that you got to play where normally A&M and LSU have played around Thanksgiving. We've just moved this up 1 month, but the stakes are high, and I think that's what makes it fun about the 12-team playoff because you're going to have a lot of these.
Yeah, and Andrew.
That the games may not be as important, right? And we're finding out that maybe there's more teams in this position, but it certainly makes for a fun one this Saturday for sure.
Andrew, and just to think how both teams started, you weren't Usain Bolt coming out of the blocks. That was a stumble early on for both LSU and for Texas A&M. When you look at the straw that turns the drink for them on offense, would you say that's Le'Veon Bell here? Because in my opinion, if you can stop the running game and say, you know what, Connor Wegman, hey, if you're going to beat me, but I'm not going to let you pound at me, you know, 30, right. 35 times. They're still trying to bring down the – he was A-chain back then, but he's A-chain now. They're still trying to tackle him in that game. But I think that it comes down to can LSU's defense stop Le'Veon Moss, who is a really, really talented back.
Yeah, and I think if LSU does that, guys, I think if you have to make Texas A&M one-dimensional, advantage LSU. And I think Le'Veon Moss has really been that guy. Look, they lost Reuben Owens, who was going into his second season in camp. Who was going to step up? Le'Veon Moss with a nice little wrinkle when you add Amari Daniels as well. A couple of guys that could have left and did not. And they were going to be part of that running back stable. Le'Veon is stronger this year. He's never lost his speed. Same thing with Amari, but stronger. And I think his yards after contact, when that 4-yard gain becomes an 8-yard gain, when that no gain becomes a +4, I think that helps the Aggies and it becomes third and manageable. I'm with you. And the result of Le'Veon being so good is the result of this offensive line is better than it has been the last 2 years. I think Connor has trusted this offensive line. They've allowed 7 sacks. They've gotten to Connor 3 times. And I know it's even fewer what LSU's offensive line has two to Garrett Nussmeier, who's had an outstanding season. But that running game, to be able to trust that. And I thought we saw a little bit last week against Mississippi State, a little bit of Colin Klein and the trust in that line that on some of those third and longs where you thought were obvious pass downs, they trusted Le'Veon to go get that first down or Amari Daniels to run a nice little change up. I think that shows the confidence that they have. But Le'Veon Moss, I think, has been a little bit of a revelation for the Aggies and one of the key reasons why they are where they are this season.
Andrew, I saw him at Manning Passing Academy. And, you know, Archie and I were on the golf court. We got to see Connor Wegman throw the football. And, man, we come away. Hey, man, he was not throwing against pressure, but he was impressive throwing the football. He was accurate, a nice, quick, over-the-top delivery. And we've seen sort of glimpses of that. Kind of give us your look at Connor, where there are times you say, man, he is impressive throwing the football, and then other times, maybe not so
much. What are you thinking?
Yes.
Right? You're going, Connor, wait. That was kind of Mississippi State sometimes in a nutshell. And Mike and I talked about this. Like, you've got to have the confidence, right, as a quarterback. I can make that throw. Okay, but one more progression, and you can make this other one. Or you're so confident, and he didn't see the linebacker on the pick at the 12-yard line. And a chance when you have a drive and put that game away, you kept Mississippi State in that game. Okay, now here's where the student of the game, Connor Wigman, comes in and says, okay, I can't do that for my team. As a leader, I can't do that. But I'm with you when it comes to throwing the ball. Interesting, you were talking Rams-Vikings tonight. My partner is Dave Elmendorf, who played at A&M, the All-American, now in the Hall of Fame. And for a decade, he was a safety with the Rams. And I asked him, I said, when a quarterback gets it out that quickly, and he said, Andrew, it's the difference between getting your fingertips on the ball and an incompletion and a complete pass. And that's that. I think that little bit of quickness and arm strength of Connor Wigman. And let's be honest, I think the wideouts are better for A&M this year. And I think they're a little deeper. I think having Noah Thomas, I think having Jahdae Walker, I think having Cyrus Allen, and it goes a little deeper than that. And they're tight ends. Look, it's not Mason Taylor. They don't have Mason Taylor at tight end like LSU does, who's going to be a first-round draft pick. They don't have Kyron Lacy, you know, who an 8-yard completion becomes possibly an explosive play, or the band starts playing because he's in the end zone. Kyron Lacy, to me, is what Anaya Smith was. You know, you mentioned Devon Achane in the past. Aggies have had some really good running backs. He and Isaiah Spiller, and that's what Le'Veon is. But you have that confidence for that. But he's got to be more solid, because in a game like Saturday's, one turnover could be the difference, right? Throughout this entire game, you don't know what play might be the difference. And that's what Mike Elko is telling not only Connor Wigman, but the rest of his team. You've got to stay focused for 60 minutes. We may have 150 plays in this game. Which one is going to be the difference? Make sure that you've got your effort. You've got your strain. Make sure you're grinding in that. I love what Mike says. You can only take care of the 6 inches in front of your nose. And that's been a nice thing. Instead of looking big picture, focus on the 6 inches in front of your helmet. And they've done that nicely so far.
Nick, Andrew, excuse me, thinking about the matchup on the defensive side and for LSU, we saw it last week, Landon Jackson, who was a former LSU player, transferred to Arkansas, went up against Will Campbell.
Will Campbell?
Okay, yeah. he got the best of him a couple times, and then after that, Will say, enough of that, I'm going to mash you. And he played a lot of physical football, and then we didn't hear too much about Landon after that. This week again, Nick Skorton, and I watched him play last year at Purdue and saw his maturation. I don't know who has worked with him in the offseason, but he has got a little different move, counter move, and it's a hard inside cut right to the quarterback. He's normally played at left defensive end, which would mean he would go up against Emory Jones. That every scout in America is watching that, because we know kind of where those guys are going to be playing next year. But that is a game within the game. Nick Skorton going up, and I think mainly probably against Emory Jones.
Yeah, and when you talk to our scouts, they talk about the two tackles, Jones and Campbell. One of our scouts who's worked with the Cowboys, the Raiders, and the Steelers, he says, Will Campbell, that's a first rounder. Mason Taylor's a first rounder. He goes, I love their wide receivers. This is how much he loves the wide receivers. He goes, yeah, even their, you know what I mean when I say average, the ones that you don't talk about could be third or fourth rounders right now. They're not even finished with their careers. That's the game within the game, right? And I think that's where it's going to be won and lost. And it's going to be a reason why the Aggies can run the ball or Connor can have success is if the Aggie offensive line can keep Savion Jones out of the backfield, right? What is it? 22 sacks in the last five games. And can you get that pressure? What Nick Skorton has done, what Cassius Howe has done on the ends, what Shamar Stewart, another end, has done because they rotate. And I think Shamar Turner there in the middle is a key member of that defensive line. You can't just key on Nick Skorton on that D line. The one who's worked with him, by the way, is Sean Spencer, who came over with Jay Bateman when Mike Elko hired them both from Florida. And Sean Spencer is Coach Chaos as they call him. And in his background, he's a New York Giants defensive line coach. He knows what it takes to be in the NFL. So he's the one who's worked. Look, we've been blessed in the past, I have to be honest. Elijah Robinson, who's now the defensive coordinator at Syracuse, was here and worked with Mike Elko on that D-line. And Terry Price, and I hate saying the late Terry Price because he played here at A&M and passed away a couple seasons ago. You were blessed to have really good defensive linemen. And you guys know the front four dictates what the back seven can do. And I'm with you. It will be such a matchup. Look, it's going to be Savion Jones and Trey Zun, who's been outstanding. And on the right side, it's going to be big 6'7", Demetrius Crownover. And he's going to go up against Braden Swinson. Like, I'm with you. These little matchups in a matchup that most fans won't look at, I think, dictate how the game gets played on Saturday.
Drew, one name to keep in mind. He's been a one-man gang for 3 weeks. Whit Weeks. And, okay, his brother Wes, a little bit older, but it's like the Weeks and Weeks law firm, But, man, all of a sudden.
They put you in jail, don't they? They've been so good, you're in jail, baby.
and here's the best part, Andrew. I talked to Whit in the summer. He's like, my little brother's better than both of us. And I was like, what? You've watched LSU, that Whit Weeks guy, he has got his GPS turned into the ball carrier every play. And he's a playmaker not only against the run, also in coverage if they send him on the blitz. And we didn't see that. And then all of a sudden, Harold Perkins gets hurt, okay, and you lose him for the season. And then Whit Weeks becomes the man. And he has been absolutely awesome for 3 weeks.
Isn't that something? Because Harold Perkins, let's be honest, probably the best athlete, right? And this is not a shot. Please don't. Here's the analogy to me. I remember a young Edgerrin Cooper at Texas A&M. Mike was still here. Tyler Santucci was the linebacker coach. Mike brought Tyler to Duke. Duke stayed. He's still with Manny Diaz as the DC there. But there was a play that Edgerrin made as a young player. He was freelancing. And Tyler said, if you do that this Saturday, it's a 12-yard gain. We were playing someone out of conference. It might have been New Mexico or New Mexico State. He said, Edge, if you do that in the SEC and freelance, it's a touchdown. Now, fast forward, Edgerrin Cooper last year was able to gather all of that, still be freakishly athletic, to become a second-round pick, and he's in Green Bay, right? That's where I think Perkins is, that athleticism. But when you bring in Whit Weeks, 70 tackles, are you kidding me? It's double-digit tackles, and he threatened 20 tackles in one of those weeks. When you have that, when you're solid there, right, that means the defensive line's doing their job. Look, if that D-line isn't making the tackle, and they've got a lot of tackles, and that's not always the case. Sometimes they're the cloggers, and they allow someone else, but that means your linebackers. So you're not even getting to that second level, right, when you're linebackers. So that's the frustration. We can't run. Let's try passing. Well, guess what? Greg Penn made the interception last year when the Aggies were there, and it turned that game around in the second half. And Jaden Daniels and Malik Nabers went nuts. LSU wins that game last year. That's what I mean. Can you be solid? When you have that solid linebacking core, and I give the Aggies a ton of credit. That's what Torian York, who started at middle linebacker last year as a true freshman out of Temple, Texas, and now you add Scooby Williams, who had an outstanding game last week against Mississippi State. I really think these teams are so similar. There's going to be some positions where each gets the advantage, but from the season records to how they play to what they want to do on the field to how they can turn you over or get you off the field on third down, they're very similar. And let's add, Mike Elko was Brian Kelly's defensive coordinator at Notre Dame for a year before he came to Texas A&M, and now they're both in the SEC, and Brian's always had success wherever he has been. To me, that just makes the matchup even more fascinating. But I'm with you guys. Just looking at those positions, you're going to see an awful lot of players you're going to be playing on Sundays in the future.
Andrew, definitely appreciate your time. Thanks for all the insights, and have a great call Saturday night. I know it's going to be a wild one.
Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you so much for having me, guys.
All righty, take care.
That was the voice of Texas A&M Aggies, Andrew Monaco. And you can hear, obviously, the call from our side of things, the LSU Sports Radio Network, 6:30 Saturday night on WWL and the Odyssey app.